From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Wednesday, October 4th. Coming up, we'll learn more about how a trust fund is helping landlords provide rental assistance to the influx of migrants who have been bused to Chicago. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Social services have been strained over the past couple of years, but a new state grant may be able to ease some of it in Champaign County. IPM reporter May Antar has more.
The county will receive nearly $250,000 to support asylum seekers. Braden Belcher is the interim grants division manager for the city of Urbana. Without the grant, Belcher says there would have been an even wider gap for everyone in need of services.
A lot of our social services and housing, you know, services are strained in the community already. And that's just due to, you know, the ongoing economic impacts of the pandemic, the continually rising cost of housing, wages not keeping up with inflation.
While migrants have been assets to the community, he says refugees are an especially vulnerable demographic. The funds will serve approximately 200 adults and 100 children through next June. May Antar, IPM News.
A majority black elementary school in Urbana is closing permanently. District 116 closed Wiley this summer for asbestos removal. The school board voted 4-3 last night to turn it into a sixth grade center. Delilah Murphy was the secretary at Wiley. She's now at Thomas Paine Elementary and mourns the loss of a successful school.
We have students who we have fought to get them where they are, educationally, socially, and those needs aren't being met now. Those students will fall through the cracks. Trust me, they will. I'm seeing it.
Those in favor of the sixth grade center hope it will ease middle school discipline issues and overcrowding, as well as improve academics. The U.S. House of Representatives has made history by voting to remove the Speaker of the House. IPM Washington, D.C. correspondent Linda Kenyon takes a look at how Illinois Republicans weighed in.
The vote was 216 to 210, with 8 Republicans, all members of the conservative House Freedom Caucus, and all Democrats, voting to oust Kevin McCarthy from his post. The rebellion was led by Florida Republican Matt Gaetz, who was incensed over McCarthy's deal just a few days ago to pass a short-term budget extension that prevented a government shutdown. Among other things, conservatives were angered that the deal did not include deeper spending cuts. Most Republicans, however, along with almost every single Democrat, did not support a government shutdown, and they voted for the budget deal. Most Republicans also rejected the effort to oust Speaker McCarthy, including Illinois' Mike Bost of the 12th Congressional District, Darren LaHood of the 16th, and Mary Miller of the 15th District. Mike Bost issued a statement praising Kevin McCarthy's leadership and listing several GOP victories. He also said Republicans must stop fighting each other, and in his words, start taking it to the liberals who voted in lockstep against Kevin McCarthy. A statement from Darren LaHood called the removal of Speaker McCarthy a shameful maneuver and said it does a disservice to the American people. LaHood blamed Democrats for voting against keeping McCarthy as Speaker, but he also blamed the 8 Republican members of the House Freedom Caucus, saying they were, quote, more concerned with clicks and sound bites rather than working to achieve conservative policy victories. Mary Miller's statement also blamed Democrats, saying, quote, I agree with President Trump right now. We should be focused on stopping the radical Democrats. It is notable that Democrats are the minority party. They did not offer the motion to vacate or remove Kevin McCarthy as Speaker. So the next question is, who will be the next Speaker of the House? For now, the House is under the leadership of Representative Patrick McHenry of North Carolina, who was declared Speaker pro tempore. In his first act, he sent the House into recess to allow time to discuss the path forward. That means there will be no votes on Speaker or on anything else until next week at the earliest. All the while, the clock is ticking toward a November 17th deadline to pass another budget bill, or the government shutdown scenario will return. In Washington, D.C., Linda Kenyon, IPM News.
Still to come, we'll learn more about how a trust fund is helping landlords provide rental assistance to the influx of migrants who have been bused to Chicago. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
Next time on the 21st Show, in the coming decades, portions of Illinois are forecast to have the greatest rise in extreme temperatures in the U.S. Are you ready? We'll hear from science writer David Pogue, whose book is How to Prepare for Climate Change, A Practical Guide to Surviving the Chaos. I'm Brian Mackey, and that's next time on the 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. There is a big need to find permanent housing for the more than 14,000 asylum seekers who have arrived in Chicago in the past year. That can take months, particularly for people who are newly arrived and lack documents and steady income. But a scrappy group of volunteers has been able to quickly move some migrants into housing through a unique program and the help of one landlord. Tessa Weinberg has more.
Volunteers Matt Joy and Jocelyn Walsh's Wednesday night was just getting started. The first stop that night was to pick up a secondhand couch from an apartment in Pilsen. The couch would be going to a family of asylum seekers who used to live in Todo para Todos. That's a shelter for migrants staffed by volunteers. Both Joy and Walsh helped run it all summer. But what was supposed to be a quick stop quickly got derailed.
Oh, it almost turned over.
Are you around the neighborhood right now? So the truck just died.
Neighbors and a fellow shelter volunteer came to the rescue and were eventually able to jumpstart the car. It was just one of the numerous hurdles the group of volunteers have encountered trying to find apartments, furniture, and more for the former shelter residents. The shelter was forced to close its doors at the start of September. But Walsh says volunteers made clear their support wasn't going anywhere. Here's Walsh on her way to visit families who used to live in the shelter.
And we really let residents know, like, but that doesn't mean our support ends on that date. Like, the shelter won't be there as a housing option anymore after that date. But, like, if we can't find you permanent housing by that time, we're going to find you temporary housing.
But Joint says it is challenging to find places for asylum seekers to live. Shelter residents are new to the U.S., which means they lack things like credit and rental history, which many landlords require. And because the Pilsen shelter was independent of the city, asylum seekers who stayed there aren't eligible for a state-run rental assistance program. Here's Joint.
And we were getting quite desperate, and like in that moment, he appeared seemingly out of nowhere.
That he is Brad Suster, the owner of Lux Property Managers. Suster manages and owns houses and apartments across the city. This summer, Suster happened to have units available for rent, and Joint had lots of families in need. By the end of this month, their work together will mean 47 former shelter residents will be living in their own apartments and houses, Suster says.
And it's just a question of trying to urgently find them some housing right now.
He's been able to quickly house migrants with the help of a rental subsidy program that he's used for decades for other low-income residents. The Chicago Low-Income Housing Trust Fund was founded in 1989, and its subsidy program is open to all low-income Chicagoans, not just migrants. And it's helped these volunteers find migrants a place to live faster than the long waits residents in city shelters are facing. Here's the Trust Fund's executive director, Anissa Lambert Garrett.
We serve individuals, we serve families, anyone who is either homeless or at risk of being homeless. And so we'll fill that gap between the rent and what they can afford to pay.
Suster hopes the new families he's helping will put down roots for generations to come.
This is such a big transfusion that the city needs of an entire new population. And that's a culture, that's a workforce, that's everything. And I think that's exciting.
Walsh and Joint say the support goes both ways. After a former shelter resident recently signed a lease for their new place, Joint says they asked him why he does this.
And I said to him, because I know that if the tables were turned, imagine the countries are flipped. Imagine, like, all Americans are fleeing to Venezuela. I know you guys would do the same thing for us. And he said, you're right, we would.
For now, they're going to keep looking for more apartments to house migrants, a need that isn't going away anytime soon. Tessa Weinberg.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be mostly cloudy with a high of 85 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by May Antar, Christian Schorsch, Linda Kenyon, and Tessa Weinberg. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.